Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
What is that? That's the second time it's gone off.
They never go home. They never go home. They never go home, those boys.
That's... Yeah. They have asked for that, really.
Well, you can laugh. I'm the World Cup.
I'm a little bit of an idealist. But having said that, I want to be like me.
You don't know what you're talking about.
What did you know?
I managed to stay alive for 6 days.
I'd say it to your face, and I'll say it to you now.
I'm down Twanfield, and we'll see them, won't we?
What you doing down here, you shawnee man?
I think probably about the best thing you can say for the opening game of the 2022 World Cup is that the opening game of the 2022 World Cup has taken place. Welcome to the Second Captain's Football Pod, Hamer.
Hey, Owen, how's it going? The reviews are in. And that's what you reckon.
Ken Early is in Qatar. We'll get over to him shortly. He was at the match to witness the former West Ham and Everton striker Enner Valencia stake an early claim to the Golden Boot with two first half goals. By the time the game meandered to a 2-0 final scoreline, many of the home fans had long since given up the ghost and left the stadium. Were they simply off to try to find somewhere to watch the glut of international friendly matches also taking place last night? Yes, the World Cup may be underway, but that does not mean Stephen Kenny's team can't be found somewhere around Europe labouring to victory against a side ranked 119 places below them in the world rankings.
Whew. It was a tough watch, Owen. I'm going to say
which one?
Yeah, I mean that's
Malta, Republic of Ireland.
Where? Yeah, I mean the 20th of November 2022 will not go down as a banner day in the history of football.
I said we laboured to victory. We actually played a bit of ball in the second half. Callum O'Dowd hit the post. Mark Sykes came on for his debut more than 2 years after switching allegiance from Northern Ireland. He set up a chance for Evan Ferguson, who got some more minutes as a senior international. Jamie McGrath had some barnstorming runs in midfield. We got the win against the team ranked 168th in the world. Listen, what I'm asking, are you Stephen Kenny in or out?
Oh, shut up, Owen.
We're going to hear from Ken.
Yeah. Just, no. The idea that... I was like, have I signed a contract somewhere? Like, it really was a fulfillment of a contractual obligation to watch that Ireland-Malta game.
Yeah. Well, I was away last week. I was away last week and I did not know that match was on until yesterday. Like, I knew the Norway game was on and then heard Haaland wasn't playing. And then this one tagged on to the end, this Malta away match.
It would actually make me very happy if people were finding out for the first time listening to this that the game had been on last night.
There are definitely a few.
You missed nothing.
People were finding out as it was happening. No, you didn't miss a huge amount bar a tap into an empty net by Callum Robinson, who gets another goal for his country. We're going to hear from Ken about his first impressions of the match day experience in Qatar, and we'll be talking about FIFA president Gianni Infantino.
Today I feel Qatari. Today I feel Arab. Today I feel African. Today I feel gay. Today I feel disabled. Today I feel...
Yes, he actually said those words. on the eve of the tournament. But it's okay, he provided context. Of course, I am not Qatari. I am not an Arab. I am not African. I am not gay. I am not disabled, but I feel like it because I know what it means to be discriminated against, to be bullied as a foreigner in a foreign country. As a child, I was bullied because I had red hair and freckles, plus I was Italian. So imagine. No, Gianni, imagine beginning a monologue with that opening gambit and then continuing to spew out more words for almost an hour, as you did on the eve of the tournament. So listen, we'll talk about all that and what he was up to there. This podcast is being recorded on Sunday night and is available on Sunday night. I think I've already referenced the match being on last night, which is simply force of habit. But in fact, the plan during the World Cup is to record these pods after the matches are finished every evening and put them out on the same night so you can listen straight away, or at least have a go at it early in the morning. You can stay in that way somewhat on top of the, let's be honest, relentless schedule of matches if you so wish. I know not everybody wants to stay on top of any of this tournament, and that's fair enough as well. As always, World Service members will get all our daily coverage of what's happening in Qatar, both on and off the pitch. Let's catch up with Ken.
A voice. Oh my God.
Sorry, mate. That's actually my seat.
What you think doesn't really matter.
Things are annoying to watch.
I got locked in a toilet.
Well, what's next for you? What's next for Hathaway?
We say Qatar, but Qatar.
What a boy you are.
For the first time from Qatar inside Al Bayt Stadium. Ken, how are you?
Very well, Owen. How are you?
Well, I'm all right. I'm way more interested in how you are, to be honest. You were there for the spectacle of the opening ceremony of the and the opening match of what's been shaping up as the weirdest World Cup in living memory for a lot of us. How did it play out in front of your eyes?
It was a ridiculous opening match. You know, this is the World Cup. I was thinking, I haven't seen anything like this since the Curling Nations Cup in 2011. Remember when we had Wales and Scotland and Northern Ireland playing at the Aviva, and there was nobody there.
Very small crowds.
That's what it was like. I mean, it was the crowd was full. The stadium was full at the beginning. The opening ceremony was spectacular. I mean, I don't really understand what was going on. Morgan Freeman was sort of walking around saying some stuff.
Talking about the world being one tribe and all of us coming together and that sort of stuff.
Yeah, well, I guess, there was a kind of a nice little bit where they played sort of two bars of everyone's little theme song. You know, like they had a sort of a medley where it was like 1 minute you hear Vamu, vamu, Argentina. And then you hear, well, ooh-ah up the ra. No, it's ooh-ah Canada. It's ooh-ah Canada. And then you hear ole, ole, ole. And you're like, oh, I don't even know who that is. Oh, no. Because then it was Ticos. It must have been Costa Rica. And, so everyone gets a couple of little bits. And that was, it was fine. I mean, it all looked pretty amazing. Apparently they spent $200 billion on this World Cup. But then by the end of it, there was no one there. We just went home. At halftime, I was walking around at halftime, and I could see all these guys just leaving with these like red and white swag bags.
At halftime it was happening?
At halftime. There was people streaming out of the exits and going home at halftime. And when he came back after the halftime, he looked around, and the entire VIP tier, you know, like the middle tier,
is pretty much completely
empty. Like, it was full. It's full to begin with, but all those people have just said, well, I've seen enough. I don't know if Mohammed bin Salman had to stick around for the whole thing because he was sitting next to Infantino. It does make me laugh to think of him having to endure that until the bitter end.
Because we were watching on TV, we were being shown a lot of shots of whatever the hardcore fans of the Qatar national team are called. And they were going through every song under the sun. There was a Viking thunderclap at one stage. They seemed to still be going strong towards the end.
Even the ultra section, the top part of it, people were like, oh, Jesus, I don't know.
But at the same time, we're reading reports of lots of other people, you know, of the stadium emptying out. So, yeah, pretty.
I'm telling you, Alan, that the stadium was empty by the end. The Ecuador section was full, and they're singing Queremos Cerveza, meaning we want beer, which, of course, they can't have because Qatar announced that wasn't going to happen. Of course, Gianni Infantino says, well, you know, I think you'll survive for 3 hours without beer. You know, I don't think it's the biggest deal. Maybe you're making a big deal about it because it's a Muslim country. This is one of the things that Infantino said. No, we were making a big deal out of it, Gianni, because it seems as though you're not actually in control of your own tournament anymore. He was like, I feel 200% in control of my own tournament. He's like, yeah, you feel a lot of things though, don't you? You feel a whole lot of different things. And one of those things is 200% in control of the World Cup. We'll file them alongside all the other things you feel, such as being Arab, disabled, African, a migrant worker, a woman. And,
unbelievable. That speech was just, I mean... Mm. When he first came on the scene, or when he first ascended, took over from Blatter, it was like, oh yeah, there's this guy, I know him a bit from UEFA. I didn't really think anything about this man, and especially after the kind of cartoonish, the cartoon figure Sepp Blatter had become by the end, or maybe always was. He just seemed like a steady corporate Eddie, you know. He's just going to come in, and you know, the ideas of cleaning things up. Who knows about all that kind of stuff, but. Just in terms of his persona, it seemed kind of bland, really bland, actually. Mm. And if you can say one thing for his hour-long monologue, it wasn't bland. That's the kindest thing I can
say. He's a steady corporate Eddie, I suppose. But maybe they're the worst ones, Owen. Maybe you'd rather have like a sort of eccentric, sleazy granduncle like Sepp, who... like, I mean, Sepp Blatter was what he was. You know, did he ever really pretend to be anything else? I'm not sure. Infantino, who knows what he is? You know, he's just so hollow. Like, you could put anything in there. You know, you could have... This is sort of a ventriloquist dummy. Anyone's arm could be up there. You know what I mean? Mm. He could say anything in almost any language. Like, he's got this Swiss ability to speak languages. He said, oh, you know, as a young red-headed child with freckles, I couldn't speak good German. I was like... Come on, you're able to speak German. I mean, he is... What he is now, though, Owen, is the FIFA president. And the FIFA president, who's running unopposed for election next year, so he will be elected for another 4 years. And you've got to remember what kind of a body FIFA is. FIFA is a multinational organization, 200-plus members. Only a couple of those are countries... which were targeted by Infantino in his speech. The vast majority of them, I think, would have been listening with some appreciation to what he was saying. Because who, after all, was in the dock? Who was Infantino's invective directed at? It was the Western media, or the you know, Europe, the West, but in the form, embodied in the form of the lecturing, scolding, pious Western media, who were sitting literally in front of Infantino as he delivered the speech. Which is hated not only all over the world, but even in the West. Why do they hate it in the West? You know, hatred of the media elite, the hypocritical, sneering, lecturing, condescending, patronizing media elite has been like the fuel of all the populist movements in the world, including in Western countries. So Infantino was kind of picking on an easy target in a sense, you know? I mean, he widened it out a bit, of course. He widened it out. He kind of presented it as I, a European, recognize... That Europe is a monster. For 3,000 years, this monster has run amok on our planet. And really, it should spend the next 3,000 years apologizing for everything it's done, rather than handing out moral lessons to the rest of the world. This is literally what he said. 3,000 years after what Europe's been doing for 3,000... I mean, what's happening 3,000 years ago? Like the Siege of Troy. You know, this is how far back the guy's going. And we need to spend the next 3,000 years apologizing. But, by the way, you know, this decision was made 12 years ago when none of us currently at FIFA were there. And, you know, we all know we've just got to get on and make the best of it. So, see, like, oh, hang on, Gianni. Like, on one hand, you're saying, like, don't blame me that we're in Qatar. That decision was made 12 years ago and I was only the General Secretary of UEFA then. But on the other hand, you're saying that, like, You know, if the New York Times or like the Guardian want to publish something critical of Qatar, they shouldn't, because the reporters should instead be hanging their heads in shame over what the Romans did to the Carthaginians. You know, that's literally the logic of what you're saying. I mean, logic is not really a word, is it? But that is what he's saying. But again, this kind of stuff, I think, goes down pretty well. You know, I mean, it doesn't go down well, certainly with the people it's attacking. I think around the rest of the world, people are like, yeah, you know, those guys have had it all their own way, you know, for too long. Yeah, and they are hypocrites, and they are sanctimonious, and it is bullshit, and, you know, they just can't take that Qatar as a success, you know, and I think that's certainly the way that it is. And you just hate our success. So that is, that's what Infantino's pandering to, you know what I mean? It's not as mad as it seems. It's not mad at all, actually, what he's doing. This is how he's running FIFA. This is how he's going to be president for the next 4 years. He understands this, and he's going to play to the gallery.
Yeah, the hypocrisy. This is the same guy who talks about not sports and politics, not mixing, and, you know, let's stick to the football. And then also talking just a few days ago about how the role that the World Cup can play in bringing about at least temporary respite between Russia and Ukraine. You know,
Better example? Yeah, this is what he's saying: engage. You know, we must engage. We cannot condemn. You know, if your child, what was it he said about the child? And the strange thing about the child. The metaphor that he used is that apparently the only way it makes sense is if the child is like Qatar, and instead of like being rude to the teacher or something, Qatar has like abused human rights. And the thing to do when your child, you know, presumably doesn't abuse human rights, but say your child is rude to its teacher, or, you know, and gets in trouble at school, you don't say, "You idiot, go to your room." You sit and you reason with the child. You engage. You say, "Look, you know, I'm on your side. Let's work together to get better grades." That's what you do. Well, at least that's apparently what Gianni Infantino does. I mean, plenty of people would still say, you know, sometimes you should punish a child for doing this. I'm not sure if the Qataris would have appreciated that part of his thing, actually. Hang on, are you saying we're like a child? It's like you're our father, you know, and instead of scolding us, you should engage. I mean, it was just, I mean... But again, you know, while it's easy to just kind of dismiss it contemptuously, I mean, this is like, I think he knows what he's doing, you know, that sort of stuff. Like, it's just the whole, but like, here we are, you know, ultimately, the truth of it is, like, that game, we shouldn't have had an opening game. Qatar, Ecuador, like, it was not fit to for this tournament. Like, it doesn't make a joke out of the tournament. You know, I suppose we've had bad opening games before. The one last time was, what, Russia 5, Saudi Arabia 1. I mean, I suppose at least Russia put on a bit of a show, and the crowd had a few things to shout about. Whereas here, the team was abysmal. Like, the worst team I've ever seen. This is my sixth World Cup, and that's the worst team I've ever seen. And the worst goalkeeper ever. Oh, by miles.
Yeah.
Miles. Saudi Arabia lost 9-0 in our group in 2002. They couldn't have been great.
True. They were bad, and it wasn't 9-0, it was actually 8-0.
You know, there are bad teams in every World Cup. You know, we just so happens to be given the World Cup.
Come on, they weren't. Saudi Arabia were like making up the numbers in that World Cup. They weren't the hosts. Yeah. Like, we're talking about the hosts here.
You can say,
like, Honduras lost 10-0 or
something. Has given this country the World Cup. But not only that, Qatar then go out of their way just a few months before the tournament to give themselves the proper platform of their own day. You know, they which, you know, in and of itself isn't the worst idea that necessarily the host nation plays on the opening day of the tournament, especially because there are so many games every day. Anyway, there's too many games every day in this World Cup because it's so condensed. It's kind of madness having four matches a day. But so in some ways, you know, it makes sense that host. But they give themselves this platform. They, like everything else, they just make it. If they want it to happen, it happens. It doesn't matter. Same with the beer. Same with everything else. They can do it at whatever notice they want, and they give themselves a platform, and then produce an awful spectacle on the pitch and an embarrassing one off the pitch with fans.
I agree absolutely with all of that, but the only thing I would say is, like, Qatar are the Asian champions, you know, like, it's not like we've given the World Cup to a country rated 201st in the world. Like, they would have qualified through Asian qualifying anyway if their performance at the Asian Cup was anything to go by. So I mean, you know,
I wish somebody would tell their fans.
Yeah, like that was, know, like, a, I mean, it was like that.
I
is,
wish people would sit around and wait till the end. But people had decided they'd seen enough. I mean, you know, these losers. Like, you know, why would I stay around here? We're well north of Doha here, I suppose. Al Bayt, I mean, is a good bit out. I mean, the journey here took a long time because the bus driver didn't seem to know how to get to the stadium, so we approached it on several occasions. Sorry, I'm about to go into a whinge about, you know, there's no water, there's no Wi-Fi.
Well, I mean, well, hang on, no water. No water sounds kind of important. There was no water.
Yeah, I mean, I'm very thirsty, and you probably hear me, my mouth is full of dry white foam. You probably hear me start to go like that in a little while, but I can't, there's no water here, so I don't know what I'm going to do. Like, look, you know, hopefully I'll make it to the end of the, I mean, I went up, because we arrived late, because the bus was driving around everywhere. Like, I mean, the bus kept sort of approaching the stadium, then driving away from it, and people were getting angry on the bus, you know. There was, like, Dutch photographers there. The reason there was a lot of Dutch photographers is because we'd been watching Louis van Gaal's press conference at the main media center, which is in Doha. And so people were then saying, oh, we'll get on the bus. It's like an hour to Al Bayt. We'll be there in plenty of time. But then it ended up taking more than 2 hours on the bus. So it sort of knocked everyone's plan out of sync. People are rushing to where they need to be before the game. You know, again, this is a whinge. No one wants to hear this. But all I'm saying is that, you know, how much has been spent on it is a mystery. 200 billion is a figure that you hear. You know, insane sums of money have been spent on this. You're just sort of assuming that, like, things like this will be, Again, look, it's not the first time. I was recently at a big match in Paris for the Champions League final, and the organization for that was actually a lot worse. So, you know, I'm sure that it's the first time that the events like this have been on in Qatar, and obviously there's got to be teething problems.
All right, well, that's one whinge over. It might not be your last one for the tournament, so that's whinges are allowed.
And it is kind of mad that happens. You know, like, the one thing we all expected was, like, well, this is going to be run seamlessly, at least. They spent this much money. I mean, for all of the moral questions.
Well, there were test events that went badly and stuff as well. You know, we covered that not so long ago. So I think it just by the time the World Cup came around, that element of it, to me, seemed to go back under the radar because everyone was talking more about the bigger issues, obviously.
There was another weird thing as well, that I was in the media center yesterday, and a rep from one of the sponsor companies, I don't want to say which one because I don't want to get this person in trouble. They seem very nice, but I don't know if they should have been doing what they were doing. But I just thought this was interesting. That they came up sort of offering a voucher for some products which the company had available in the media center, should we wish to avail ourselves of. Same. Thank you very much. And then they said, you wouldn't be looking for any tickets, would you? And it's like, what? No, I mean, you know, hopefully we'll be getting tickets, the sort of tickets on the accreditation, although, you know, we haven't been approved. What, you know, why? And he said, oh, well, we've got loads of tickets for the game, and you know, my company I work for is one of the FIFA sponsors, has got a bunch of tickets going for all the games, and they say, oh, there's some good games there, you know, Argentina playing Mexico, I think, you know, it's some really good stuff. So, you know, if you know anyone who's interested, you know, put them on to me. And I was kind of like, all right. I mean, I haven't had that happen before at a World Cup. You know, it sort of seemed to me like usually the tickets are kind of, you know, you don't get people, you don't get reps coming up to you the day before the tournament starts going, hey, we're looking for tickets. I will say that if you know anyone who looks for a FIFA sponsor, who works for a FIFA sponsor, maybe give them a text. And you may be luckier than you would have expected.
Have you been around the place much?
What are your first impressions?
Formed any firm impressions?
My first day, I mean, I arrived pretty late on Friday night. That sort of did phone stuff at the airport, you know, getting phone sorted out, SIM card and all this kind of stuff and blah, blah, blah. Got to my hotel, which is not too far from the airport, actually. Seems nice. No issues. Plumbing, maybe a bit suspect. One of those where the toilet always seems to be sort of refilling. Shouldn't you be full? It's kind of still like a trickle of refilling water, you know. And then when you
keep us up to speed on that, enough, Ken.
Even though it's been refilling all day, when you press the button and suddenly not a lot comes, you're kind of thinking, what's happening to this water? The shower turned out the next morning didn't work. The water came out of the bath taps, but not, it couldn't be transferred to the sort of shower head. So I had to sort of fill up a bath, splash about an inch of water and go down in all fours and put my head under the tap and all that. And this obviously caused a bit of a delay because we were going to the, we wanted to get to the sensational Gianni Infantino press conference, which we knew was going to be on 11. Now, we didn't know how sensational it was going to be. We assumed at that time that we'd probably be going, "Oh, Gianni, you know, do you want a pint? Or is it, do you know anywhere around here we can get a pint?" Kind of thing. You know, that's what we sort of thought it would be, because the previous day had been the no beer announcement, which he then made out, "Oh, well, that's always been the plan, you know. And by the way, like, you know, you don't actually need to drink to have fun. You know, you're like, Gianni, like, sorry, you're not fooling us." Anyway, sorry, I'm getting ahead of myself. So we're going to go to Gianni. I say we, I mean myself and Gavin Comiskey, who also works for the Irish Times. And so we both had to go through this sort of more lengthy than we had expected bath process. Because on arrival at the airport, walking out of the airport, it was an instant sweat. It was very, very hot and humid the night that we arrived. We thought, wow, hasn't actually been as hot as that since. But so he hails an Uber and he's like, "Oh, the Uber's like basically arrived instantly. I'll go down, we're on the 10th floor, you know. I'll go down and wait there." And I'm just kind of getting dried off, whatever, I'll be down in a sec. So I kind of run around grabbing my gear to, and then run down, you know, 10th floor lift, one of these kind of slow lifts, you know, down to the lobby. Oh, but go into the lobby, realize, oh, I love my passport. I need my passport to pick up the accreditation. You know, they won't let you need that. So get back into lift, back up to the 10th floor. Oh, yeah, into the room, get the passport, back to lift, back down to the 4th floor. It stops on the 4th floor. And then it's like, oh, come on, close this. And then back up to the 10th floor. It goes to the 10th floor for some reason. So I'm kind of like, come on. Can't text Gavin because he hasn't got his phone. He hasn't got the Qatar SIM yet. So he's kind of, he's like, what's he doing? He's wondering, where is this fucking idiot? Like, what is going on? Come on. You know, jamming the buttons of the lift. Come on. Down to, so the lift goes down to the lobby. Doors open. I burst out of the lobby like Shergar. Burst out through the doors. Sprint across the lobby towards the open door and smash straight into the fucking glass of the not open door. Like head first, boom, straight into the glass and bounce backwards like off a trampoline, like sprawling backwards onto my back, and I sort of lie there twitching. Gavin was in the car outside in the Uber. He was looking the other way. He didn't see it. He heard it. He turned. What the hell? And his driver was like, you know, "Oh my god!" And he said all he could see were my feet, like lying there, you know, the soles of my feet. And he so he came sort of rushing in, and all the hotel guys were kind of rushing over. "Oh my god, sir, are you okay?" You know, and I was like, like I was, you know, I knew that I was conscious. I had this kind of weird, like, pins and needles sensation in my head. And I thought, oh, no. And then I sort of sat up. And then all this blood started dripping onto the ground and the tiles. And I was like, oh, fuck, this isn't good. This is really not good. But then as it turned out, the actual cut was like, it's more of a sort of a bruise. Like, it was kind of, it's right on my kind of hairline. You know, I had my head down slightly because I don't know if I was like accelerating, you know, through this lobby. I had my sunglasses on. Don't put your sunglasses on until you get outside, because you will not see a glass door which has been polished to a high shine. And remember that in Qatar, those glass doors are not open. They don't leave the doors open here. Mm. It's too hot to leave the doors open here. It wasn't open. It was, you know, just waiting. The glass door will open and walk through it patiently. So there's all this blood, and Gav is kind of like, Infantino's kind of going to start really soon. I was like, Gav, please go. We've got to have at least someone there, you know? And the hotel staff were like, "Oh, you need to go to the hospital, sir." And I'm like, no, I think I'm all right. No, I'm going to play on. They produced the first aid kit, and the cut's not too bad. It's just more of a bruise. You know, it's kind of, I've got like a big bump on my head, and I don't think I'm
looking at it, Ken. I'm looking at it. It looks nasty,
Ken. It wouldn't be great now, to be honest. Because I did hurry into this class. You know, it wasn't just
peeling like an egg here in the one I'm looking at.
I've walked into a glass window before. I remember I did it in Geneva when I tried to enter a McDonald's at about 11:30 at night, and I went straight into a glass window again, like spectacularly. And I remember a man inside pissing himself with laughter because he saw the whole thing, and he was like paralyzed. He was, you know, convulsive laughter, you know, where you can't, like, you're like falling off your chair.
Yeah, I saw a friend of mine did it once in another friend's back garden, and it was the funniest, thing I've ever seen.
It is
there's no doubt about that for everybody else. Yeah.
To experience is quite unpleasant. But look, you know, again, Dion Fanning was like, "Are you concussed?" I said, I don't think I am. Maybe I should tell Owen I need to be stood down for 10 days. He just said, tell him he's Henry Winter and send him back out there. so in the traditional football way, I'm still here, and I'm working.
Would you pass a HIA
now? I do. I am. We're literally spending part of the other podcast today talking about Nick White, an Australian rugby player who I don't actually care about on a personal level. So I do want to make sure you are all right here. I mean, you're not showing any symptoms. Are you okay?
Oh yeah, no, Owen, I'm fine. Yeah, send me back out there, boss.
What are you going to do? I'm laughing uproariously because I'm aware that my initial reaction when you told me, Ken, was, of course, concern. Owen has made me sound like an ogre there because all I've been doing is laughing at your story. But I too need to put on the record that I too care for you. And that after the laughter subsided when you sent me the photograph, I was actually concerned for your well-being there for a while until you told me that you were okay. So just wanted to put that on the record.
Fine. Yeah. I think I was fine because, you know, I'm here to do a job, you know, and certainly not to sit it out, you know, just while my brain recovers or whatever. I'm just here to plow on, you know, and I'm glad that not to come over old Gianni Infantino on, but I am struck by your hypocrisy on this issue. But, you know, we'll simply move on.
Yeah.
We'll
move on. I'm seeing three microphones. Just talking to the middle one.
Just talking to the middle one. That's what he said. Yeah.
that's basically McDevitt's attitude towards you now, Ken.
You know, the show must go on. So look, it's fine. You know, it was
just as long as Nick White is okay.
I will just say the guys in the hotel were very good. They were very concerned. They had a first aid kit and everything. They patched me up. They even waved away my attempts to wipe up my own blood off the tiles. They said, no, sir, we'll do that. So thank you. Actually, there is one other thing. The shower isn't working in the room, so if you might be able to send someone to have a look at that, I'd be very, very, very grateful. But thanks very much for all your help.
Jeepers, listen, take care of yourself, Ken. We can't send you anywhere.
Absolutely. No, I've been tripping all over the place as well, Owen. Yeah, I tripped on the stadium steps. I tripped on this kind of, they've got for some reason these walkways in the media center are elevated by like about half an inch, so you just catch your shoe on them as you try to walk. So look, and also on the way over here they had they had literal trip wires. the fans are being sort of ushered along this path, and there's like sort of trees in the middle of, like little trees, you know, more like shrubs, sort of in the middle of this path, a road, a railing, a path in the middle of the path. Imagine these little trees at intervals sunk into like little traps that you could fall into. But then for some reason a string attached to the base of each little tree and connected to the railing on the side, so they just walk along and trip over it, like as I saw so many people nearly doing. And then at the end a solar panel thing which is like 4 feet off the ground, so like this big queue of people all then had to sort of bend down three, you know, to sort of get a look. Owen, all I'm saying is I can ill afford another bang in the head, and hopefully it's not going to happen.
You've got another member of the Irish and UK football writing firmament with you there, I believe.
UK, strictly, strictly UK. Owen, it is. He's transcended. He's flown the nets of Ireland, and he is here reporting for the United Kingdom and the Independent of the United Kingdom. Miguel, we have just seen a World Cup opening game of what's the FIFA president says is going to be the best ever World Cup, with God knows how many billions of people supposedly watching on TV and 200 billion spent on the tournament. And what we saw was a travesty of a game and a stadium that was virtually empty before the final whistle.
Yeah, it wasn't a football match what we watched, and not just because Ecuador beat Qatar so easily. I mean, just even in that perspective, like, it was such a weird game. Like, there was no pattern to it. Qatar didn't really know what to do. They were clearly nervous. And Ecuador kind of just bombarded them as and when they needed. And even Ecuador got affected by how sterile the whole thing was. But what we actually saw, of course, was basically a geopolitical event, which is the point of this whole tournament. Why they hosted it. Infantino sat there between Mohammed bin Salman and the Emir of Qatar, given 5 years ago they were afraid that Saudi Arabia would invade them. And it's why, like, so for all the focus on the empty seats, the real, what this was really about, well, it was kind of a humiliation for Qatar and a victory, given the most important seats of all.
Well, explain that, because Mohamed bin Salman was sitting next to Gianni Infantino at the last World Cup opening game, but on that occasion, his team, Saudi Arabia, was playing against Russia, whose president was sitting on the other side of Infantino. He was here. Saudi Arabia weren't playing today, so why was he sitting there in a position of honour next to the FIFA president?
It felt very conspicuous, even the fact that Saudi Arabia actually aren't playing until Tuesday against Argentina. And there's really no other way to look at that, just other than the context of the politics of the region, and also in the fact there's been a thawing between Qatar and Saudi Arabia in the last few months, really. Because the other side of that was, and I suppose what all this was really about, it was basically a political summit, because then you had the kind of that photo that Erdogan had been introduced to Sisi of Egypt for the first time. So I mean, it is kind of remarkable that we're talking about all this after a World Cup opening game, but it's much more kind of interesting and relevant than the actual football, which is a joke.
Well, the football was a complete joke. The goalkeeper, Al-Shaib, is the worst goalkeeper. Well, there's a Dutch guy saying, he's the worst goalkeeper in the World Cup, sitting next to me. Did not conceal his dismay. But that was a joke. For that level of football to be the opening game of supposedly the greatest football competition on earth, makes a joke out of this competition.
It really does. And you do wonder, though, I mean, given how quickly the stadium was deserted as well, what are we going to see for the rest of the tournament? Are they going to be full? Especially given the issues of how many fans how few fans are actually coming to Qatar. South America seems to have a decent contingent. But is this going to be the kind of norm of the tournament, where it's just going to be empty stadiums, sterile atmosphere? I mean, the atmosphere itself was weird. And I do think that actually, this could actually have a tangible effect on the football, because I do think it kind of influenced what Ecuador were doing in the second half, where it was as if they kind of realised this isn't proper. And now that could affect them, because you have to think Netherlands and Senegal would just batter Qatar.
I think that Ecuador might end up regretting not scoring more goals, but it just, the level of Qatar shocked me. And I know that like, okay, we... You know, this is a team that lost 4-0 at the Aviva. Not a lot of teams can say that. But, like, they've spent billions on this Aspire Academy, you know. Like, they put massive resources into this. They could have saved a lot of money there.
Well, this is it. I mean, the thing about it, amid all the shames of this World Cup, there's kind of a small little morality player there, and that you can, you know, pump $220 million into an infrastructure built on modern slavery. You can get David Beckham, you can get Morgan Freeman, but you can't kind of fight one of the kind of pure principles of sport, which that if you have bad players, no matter how much you invest in a national team, at least you can't make them a good team.
What do you think Gianni Infantino would have made of it, and what did you yourself make of Infantino's extraordinary performance on Saturday, where he spoke uninterrupted for, what was it, like 40 minutes, 57 minutes of opening statement. I mean, it was absolutely remarkable. What do you think he was doing there?
Well, it was very much a political broadcast in that sense, and it felt like really significant. I mean, I think the most conspicuous line of all was about the 3,000 years of Western Europe, because there's a really interesting context here. I actually, just by, well, not by coincidence, given it's the opening game of the tournament and there's so much focus on FIFA and Infantino, but I had to do a profile of Infantino that was due to come out on Saturday morning. And obviously, I spent like a fair few weeks working on it right up to the last minute. And one of the lines I have in the piece, that and something that someone in European football told me, was basically that there's been this real resentment about Infantino within UEFA. It's not that this is UEFA stands, although a lot of people in UEFA feel it, or in the UEFA federations, that he's kind of so conspicuously not just gone to Africa and the Middle East and parts of Asia to consolidate a power block, but that there's a feeling that he's kind of using a stance like, oh, these kind of fat Europeans won't give up their wealth, and that completely came across in his actual press conference, I suppose, his party political broadcast, and of course feeds into how he's managed to go back in endorsed by over 200 federations.
Yeah, I mean, so it is effective. I mean, what he's doing is working on his own terms. You know, this is it's working politically, it's working tactically, it's working strategically. He's in for the long haul. You know, is it, what are the downsides to this from his point of view?
Well, I mean, the interesting thing here is, I mean, and this was something I got at in the piece as well, and I've spoken to a lot of people about it. What are FIFA for? What is their vision? Because if you look at all the major issues actually affecting football, and they are the ultimate authority, they're meant to safeguard the sport. Well, they have no say on issues like competitive balance, no say on sports washing.
You mean they have nothing to say?
Basically nothing they can do. Like, they can't affect European football, so specifically European football. They can't affect, say, states buying clubs. In fact, really, you would actually say that Infantino facilitates the whole process of sports washing because of look at tonight. Look at who he's sat with. Look at how he's gone with Qatar. I mean, the one thing you could probably say, I suppose, is that he is spreading the wealth of the game through the World Cup and through kind of concentrating.
The metaphorical wealth, you mean, rather than the dollar wealth?
Yeah, although to a degree, I mean, there is this belief that the big plan behind the biennial World Cup was actually... I'm not saying this is a fact, I'm saying it's what people on the other side believe, that was just basically a switch and bait to say, okay, we won't do a biennial World Cup, but we want a club World Cup as well. Mm. That his ultimate goal is basically he wants... Because the power in football is really with the clubs, and who controls the clubs controls the game. So he wants his own club World Cup. And all this is a kind of... all this is serving that. But other than that, I mean... all FIFA really have is basically the World Cup that they're kind of diluting now.
Yeah. Well, are you looking forward to the rest of it?
Given what everything we've been talking about on the pod for years and all that, everything we've been writing about, it is quite a weird occasion being here. Even, I mean, like, it's a World Cup and you can't help yourself feeling that excitement. Then you almost have to stop yourself because there's almost this guilt or kind of complication with it. But yet... there's that sense. I mean, like, tomorrow is going to be a bad day. Today, by the time this goes out, I suppose.
Yeah.
I think England-Iran will be a grim game. But then Tuesday, like, all we're talking about, and yeah, I'm going to see Argentina and Messi in the morning against MBS's boys.
Yeah.
And then in the evening, Mbappe against Australia. And I suppose that's what ultimately the calculation of Qatar have made here.
Yeah. Well, that's what it's all about. Miguel, listen, thanks a million for that, and I'm sure we'll be talking to you soon.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
What does it look like? A turtle, is it?
Yobs.
There's an incredible podcast on at the moment produced by the second captains.
Biggest load of bollocks. The second captain's show in Ireland.
We're now getting to that point now where we are inspiring.
The second captain's podcast.
Pretty much we're done for the last 20 years. Be role models to kids.
Hey, Pat, do you want to split?
Yeah, just before we find out your plans for tomorrow, Ken, we haven't mentioned the hero of the hour for Ecuador, Enner Valencia, former West Ham and Everton striker, whose career in the Premier League is not one that many of us remember too clearly, I don't think. But, I'll speak for myself on that one. But he has now scored 5 goals in 4 World Cup matches. Which is
he's up there
to rival basically any of the greatest strikers in the history of this fine tournament.
Yeah, well, you know, and he scored the offside goal as well, didn't he?
Yeah.
So, he was definitely a little bit too good for Qatar, I think.
He also got injured as well. Games. I mean, it looked as though he was going to have to go off before half time. So,
well, okay, he maybe won't be doing much in the next 2 games. Maybe won't be. I mean, yeah, tomorrow.
Well, he's still soldiered on for most of the rest of the game. So tomorrow, is England, Iran.
Yeah.
Obviously Senegal, Netherlands and USA, Wales. You said you're going to the Senegal-Netherlands game,
I'm
right?
Going to Senegal-Netherlands, yeah, which unfortunately Sadio Mane is not going to be playing in.
No.
Which takes a lot of the... Well, no, it doesn't take the interest out of it, but it, you know, I feel he gave Senegal a much better chance. Certainly it would have been interesting to see Mane playing against his former teammate, Van Dijk. So yeah, I'm looking forward to the game. Hopefully it will be better than the nonsense that we saw tonight. You know, I think it would also be interesting to see the crowd. I mean, I've seen quite a few Dutch journalists. I don't think I've seen any Dutch fans yet. And usually at a tournament that the Netherlands are in, you see a lot of Dutch fans, certainly in the city they're playing in the day before they're playing. But it's a bit different. Obviously, you know, there's none of this drinking. Like, I mean, you can go for a drink. There are places where we can drink, but it's not like people are drinking on the
hotels,
street.
Hotels, really, isn't it?
And yeah, you can go to hotels. There's hotels and clubs and some restaurants and this kind of thing. Oh, most restaurants, no. You know, but it's kind of like the streets. Like, the World Cup is all about public spaces, really. You know, when you go, the fans gather from whichever country. They're all in a particular place, and usually people are drinking. Not all of them, I suppose, but it's usually a feature of that kind of raucous, everyone's singing type of. And this is just not that type of place. That's not really on the menu here. So the kind of stuff I've seen Dutch fans doing in places like Stuttgart or whatever is not really. Obviously there's no real scope for that here. So yeah, I mean, I'm looking forward to seeing more. Obviously, the football has now started. Things are kind of going to get going in a proper way tomorrow. Three matches tomorrow, four matches then every day for the next 11 days, I think. So yeah, it's going to be a lot. It's going to be a lot on. You're going to have to keep me up to date with a lot of what's going on, because I have a feeling I'm going to be spending a lot of this World Cup sitting on buses in traffic jams outside stadiums, wondering what's going on.
I missed the World Cup. I was in Qatar.
Yeah, I was sitting on a bus in Qatar, pointing out the window of the stadium, going, "It's over there. Drive now. It's over there. We're driving the wrong way." There was literally moments on the bus like, "You're like, what is he doing? He's turned the wrong way again. Why are we're driving into the sea? There's only the sea in front of us." But look, you know, again, let's put it down to teething problems. I have to say, one thing I do have to compliment our Qatari hosts on: I have never, ever seen toilets to compare with the toilets I have been using in Qatar at the various media centers and stadiums and so on. It's by far the best stadium toilet I've ever seen. Now, of course, it was walled off from the riffraff. You had to have an accreditation to get in there, fair enough. But I've been in toilets which were only for accredited personnel before and been deeply disgusted by the experience. Not the case here. The toilets have been world class. They're international class. Gianni Infantino should do a press conference from a toilet. Like, Gianni Infantino, he should go to the toilets and he say, "Look, you know, this is what I've brought. This is what FIFA have delivered." You know,
any questions?
I think a lot of people would be like, "Yeah, you know, actually this is genuinely impressive, because like the fact is people try to do this all over the world and these are the best." So credit where it's due. Maybe there are more positive surprises to come.
If only that opulence extended to your own toilet, Ken.
Well, it's all about timing.
Well, of course, my bathroom, of course, it doesn't work. The toilet is a little bit dodgy as well. But again, it is reassuring for a man in just such a position as myself to know that a short metro ride away, a world-class facility awaits. So, you know, that is a comfort.
If we can't make contact with you for the next 4 weeks, Ken, we know where you'll be.
World Service members will be hearing loads more from you during the week. Thanks, Ken.
Thank you, Owen. Thank you, Kieran.
Thanks,
Murph. Thank you, Ken. And thank you, Owen.
Thanks so much for listening. Sign up now on secondcaptains.com for ad-free episodes of the Second Captains podcast, which is, of course, part of the Acast Creator Network.
What is that? That's the second time it's gone off. They never go home, those boys.
It is not war and death and famine. It's not that at all. It's the opposite of that. It's the persuasion of the world outside of that. That's why sport's important.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince, they exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.